the unknown number we are using X Y.
Hello.
Is this Faisal?
Yes, speaking.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Faisal. This is Leah here. Leah and Jeevan, we just connected video teams.
No worries. I'm so sorry. I don't know what's happening with Microsoft Teams.
Oh, that's okay. So yeah, it took a while to start the call. Just wanted to get your opinion on a few things. You seem to have experience in living in the UK and working as a private GP there. So we are looking, trying to understand the UK market, UK industry scenario.
Okay.
So I'll take 20 to 25 minutes of yours and just try to understand that.
Okay, fine.
Yes, I'll just switch on the recording of this call, so just for my internal use.
That's fine.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Are you on an iPhone?
No, I'm using the X-Lite software, so on my computer.
It's just because it's a really bad line.
Okay, I'll try. I'll put on my earphones.
Is it better now?
Yeah, that's a bit better.
Okay. I'll just introduce myself really quickly. I work as a analyst at BA consulting firm. So what we are doing right now, we are trying to understand the private sector, private pathology sector especially, in the UK.
Okay.
So we are looking at different cities. We are looking at London, Manchester, and all the cities there. And the difference of the sector and of the private pathology testing in different cities as well. So since we are based in London, so we'll be talking to you about London. I just wanted a few answers from you. In your laboratory, do you only do pathology tests? Or if a patient comes to you, then how many times in a day or like in a month do you have to prescribe them to a certain pathology test?
Okay, so I work in many different areas. So one area I work in is a private GP. That's my own private practice. And patients come to me, and then I will organize blood tests for them and send the blood test to the pathology lab.
Okay.
Then I also work as a medical director of a pathology lab, which is different.
Okay.
That's slightly different. So I'm a medical director of a pathology lab, but they work independently to me as a private GP.
Okay.
So if you're
that's interesting.
as a private GP, depending on the number of patients I see, out of the number of patients I see, I'd probably say about 1 in 7 would probably need a blood test.
Okay. So that would be around how many per month, or?
Oh, yeah, it just depends on how many you're seeing.
Okay, 1 in 7.
So
my
private practice is quite small, so we might end up doing about 15 a month, 20 a month, depending on the month.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. What about the private practice capacities? So since you're a private GP, you have to collaborate with some private laboratory, right? So you can't collaborate with the NHS. So how do you choose which private laboratory to pick, over the other?
Yeah, it's a good question. So there's lots of private laboratories. The biggest one in the UK is TDL, the Doctors Laboratory. They work in London, and they also have a Manchester branch. So you could choose them. Alternatively, there's lots of other medical laboratories specific to COVID that have cropped up, one being the company I'm a medical director for. So it's just really personal preference and personal choice. The choices that determine which one I use are the keys of getting the sample back to the laboratory. So the reason why I use the doctor's laboratory is not because it's cheap, in fact it's more expensive than most, But because every time I do a sample, I can just phone up to a courier. They come and pick up the sample, they come and pick up the sample and take it back to the lab.
Okay, so it's because of the courier service that day.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So any other reasons for choosing TTL over the others?
So they also have some support from biochemists and consultant pathologists. So if you want to discuss results, you can discuss with them. But the biggest thing is that the fact that they have a courier. Number two, they also integrate with synthesis. So I use a system called Semble.
Okay.
S-E-M-B-L-E. And I use that system. And that clinical system allows them to write notes, patient notes. It allows them to invoice patients. And then I can also order directly from that lab through that system. So I don't have to fill in a separate form. I don't have to fill in a separate request form. Then labels are generated from that system for the bottles or the samples. The request form is generated from that as well. So the integration with the lab with the clinical software is of importance as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so that's also something I wanted to understand. So, like TTL uses that particular software. What about the other companies, private labs?
TTL integrates with that software. They don't use that software.
Okay.
So
okay.
They integrate with it. So it's about that. So Semble, who are the provider of that software, go to different labs and say, will you integrate with us? I think they've integrated with about four of them.
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. And what are the other softwares that laboratories can integrate with? And are they not as good or...
There are different softwares that they integrate with. Yes, but it depends on. So you've got to get agreement from the software provider that they'll integrate with that lab.
Okay, so that's also needed. Otherwise, probably you'll have to fill a form if there's no software at all.
Correct. You fill a form. You can either set up a computer label generator to pull off the labels, or you have to handwrite the bottles, etc. So there's just, remember when the results come back, into my clinical system as well. Whereas if you don't use that software, then the results will come back to me on the laboratory software system, and I have to print it off and then scan it onto the patient's notes.
Okay, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, so that's one reason to choose TDL over the others. Are there other laboratories?
As I said, there are other laboratories do integrate with other softwares, but I just haven't looked into them because I've been using Semble for a little while now.
Okay. So I think another reason people are using TDL is because there's one trust with them, and I think it's the longest and the biggest.
It's the biggest provider, and as I said, they have a good courier service. So there is obviously that trust with them, and as I said, they also have a big consultants and clinicians behind them, as opposed to just being a lab and providing a result.
Okay, so they have their own consultants which the patient can connect with directly, or
not the patient, the doctor can connect with. The doctors can request for. So say, for example, I do a swab for a patient and the swab comes back and it shows infection and it's not responding to the antibiotic I've given. I could contact their microbiologist and speak to them for advice.
Okay. So if we look at the entire private sector in London, then what percentage share out of 100 will you give to TDL out of all the other laboratories?
So it was bigger. But it's reducing. So initially, I would say 80% probably use TDL. Now slowly, since COVID, more and more labs have opened up. So there's more people using other providers. The disadvantage of the other providers, as I said, they don't have as good a courier service, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, some of them, therefore, a lot of them do posting back. You post back to them, to the lab. So your results come slower. But also, there's certain tests you can't do and post in a lab.
Right.
To a lab. because by the time the result gets there, then the sample is unstable.
Right, that makes sense. I think there's one service called the Royal Mail Track 24 that is being used a lot.
That's a postal service, but you can't do a potassium and a sodium on there because they're unstable. If you're just doing a kidney function and a liver function, they're fine. That's not a problem. But it depends on what you want analyzed.
Okay. Another thing I wanted to ask you was, I heard of the EMIS portal. Is that also used a lot?
Sorry, say that again.
EMIS portal. I think that's the one that NHS uses.
EMIS. It's called EMIS.
EMIS is a computer
program software used by NHS practitioners, as is System One. There's two main providers. The System One and EMIS. And they're the two, but they are NHS providers software as opposed to, for general practice, as opposed to private providers.
Okay, is NHS one, the EMIS one, as good as the one that the TDL uses?
They're different. So the reason why I don't use the NHS one is it's probably much more expensive, number one. Number two, it doesn't have a billing benefit, so you can't bill patients through it because the NHS doesn't bill, so we don't have to have a billing module. So there isn't a billing module on System One. I don't know about EMIS. EMIS, I don't think, has a billing module either. So, and also they're designed for different things. So in the UK, a lot of the data is pulled off to pay GPs, and depending on the data that they pull off, they get points, and then those points convert to payment. And payment by results, effectively. That's designed for the NHS England to be able to pull off that information.
Okay. We are dividing the pathology testing into like the general pathology testing, which is the normal general well-being blood test. And apart from that, there are pathology tests for, I believe, orthopedics, gynecology, cardio-related, neuro-related, oncology-related, and gastrointestinal-related tests as well. Right? Is that correct? Yes.
Sort of. I mean, you get general testing, and then depending on what you want to test. So certain tests can be used for cardiac issues, certain tests can be used for gynae issues. So it's not separated per se, but there are certain tests that are used for immunological issues. So there's different tests for different things, but I wouldn't say for cardiac it's one thing and gynae it's another thing.
Okay. If we want to divide it like this, so which out of these, if you can rank them, is of the, you know, how common they are in London. So is cardio-related tests the most common, or oncology-related, or gastrointestinal-related? Which are the most common? Will you be able to rank them?
I don't think you can, actually, not the way you're describing, because, you know, when you do blood tests, they're generic. They're not specific to the cardiac system, unless you're doing cardiac enzymes, so that's only done in hospital.
Okay.
Gastro, it could be an inflammatory marker that you're doing for gastro, but that inflammatory marker could be for a rheumatological cause. Oncological, there are specific oncological tests that you can do, like ovarian markers and prostate markers, etc. But once again, that prostate marker might come under urological because it's also urology, and that kind of, that prostate, that
so you can't really divide
marker
them.
Might come under
gynecology. Okay, but you can divide them in biochemistry, hematology, and immunology,
correct,
and those kind of things. Then
correct. So you would divide them into biochemistry, immunology, endocrinology, hematology, microbiology. You'd probably saw sexual health would be a separate one. Immunology, I think I've already said. Then you could probably do...
Cytology, cytology, those kind of things also, I think.
Yeah, correct. Cytology, tumor markers could be separate.
Yeah.
And genetics will be another one.
If we divide them into these segments instead, so can you run these instead then? Yeah.
Yeah, so typically biochemistry and hematology are by far the commonest.
Okay.
Biochemistry, immunology, and then endocrinology.
Okay. And hematology?
Yeah, so biochemistry and hematology are pretty much ordered
similar
together.
Okay.
But there's more there's more tests in biochemistry than there are in hematology.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense. If we are giving right now, we are thinking that according to our study and our data so far, we think that TDL will hold around 50% market share in the London's industry. Is that, would you agree with that, 50% for TDL right now?
I mean, I don't know the definite numbers, but based on my speaking with other colleagues, then yes, probably.
Okay, so another thing I wanted to ask you is the difference between Manchester and London. Is there because we are looking at every single city in the UK separately as well. So what we wanted to know is there a difference between the kind of treatment you would get in London as compared to Manchester? In the maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, of course. The more you go out of London, the less laboratories there are. So, for example, there is a TDL in Manchester. But TDL would work very closely with TDL London, so they're the same company. So, for example, for their, I don't know, they might have genetic testing, for example, they might send everything to London. For certain things, they might send everything to Manchester. So they will obviously work on more on a business case by case, how it works for them in terms of, there's no point in them having, duplicating their analyzers if it's cheaper to transport it to one lab or another.
Okay, so another question, like I'm coming to towards the end now, but another question is why would someone pick a private provider, private GP, instead of going to the NHS? Is there a specific
good
reason for that?
So I'm an NHS GP as well. So your biggest problem with the NHS at the moment is that there is a lot of lacking of appointments. So if they phone up in the morning, if they get an appointment, they're lucky. If they get an appointment within 2 or 3 weeks, they're lucky. Whereas with most private providers, they can provide an appointment on the day or the next day. And that's the first thing. The second thing is that private providers usually offer longer appointments. So, you know, we have 20 or 30 minute appointments. So obviously patients feel like they're preferred rather than the 10 minute appointments in the NHS.
Okay.
So those are the main things, really, really access and time with the doctor.
Okay. Are there any more points other than that, the quality of service maybe?
No, so in terms of they would see a GP of their choice, whereas on the NHS getting a GP or a clinician, you might end up seeing not a GP, you might end up seeing a paramedic or a nurse practitioner or a pharmacist rather than seeing a doctor. That's on the NHS, and you don't have a choice. Whereas in the private sector, typically you would go there and see a doctor, and typically you'd see a doctor for yourself. In terms of the way you would manage patients, there are most of the time for basic things you would manage them in the same way, but other times you would theoretically you could give certain drugs which you can't give on the NHS. Certain medications might be expensive, for example, and the NHS doesn't allow us to provide it, or you might have to refer to a specialist before you can give it, whereas if you've got the know-how, as a private GP, you can give what you like. There's nothing to stop you, unless you feel it's not within your competence.
Okay, that's interesting. I was talking to another expert, so he said that sometimes even NHS GPs, since the NHS has such a huge waiting line, they will refer the patients to a private hospital instead of GISH. Is that possible? That happen? What's the main reason?
This is slightly different, because when we've been talking before, we've been talking about a private GP, seeing a private GP or seeing a NHS GP. Then when the patient comes to you as a NHS GP or a private GP, and you feel that you need to refer them to a specialist, you have a choice. Mm-hmm. You can either refer them to a private specialist, or you can refer them to an NHS specialist.
Okay.
Okay? those people are usually the same people. Just like if someone saw me in the morning as an NHS GP, in the afternoon someone else might see me as a private GP.
Okay, so the number of GPs
like
are the same
refer,
and
the same with secondary care. So I might refer to my colleague in secondary care on an NHS referral, and he'll see them in 2 months or 3 months. I might refer to that same colleague on the private sector, and you might see them in a week.
Okay. So the private GPs can refer to an NHS GP. So can
no,
it happen to other...
No, they can't. So,
okay,
private GPs can't refer to NHS. GPs can only refer to private consultants. But NHS GPs can refer to private consultants or NHS consultants. But the reason why we refer from the NHS is because a patient needs to get a letter for their insurance company. That's why they need a referral.
Okay. So is it also true
that...
Say,
for example, you have an insurance company called Bupa. If a patient is covered by Bupa, Bupa will want a letter from a GP, from a doctor, to say that that person needs to be referred to a private consultant, and then only then they will authorize that patient to go and see that consultant, and then that consultant will see that patient and claim the money from Bupa directly.
Okay. So also, private healthcare, private insurance, I wanted to ask you about that as well. So that that is coming increasingly lately because of the NHS wait line. So which ones are the most common? Which most used private insurances? Would you have an idea?
You've got Bupa. Bupa. You get Vitality. You've got gone for me. A few of them.
Okay.
Bupa. So B U P A.
Vitality. I think I've heard of those two.
There's several.
So what according to you is the ideal way of placing orders? So you said the ones that don't have forms but instead have a software is the best, right? So that's why you prefer TDL. So are there any gaps or challenges that are still there that TDL can improve on, or a software that is still lacking in something?
TDL are good from the perspective, I think their biggest thing is that actually they are a little bit slower to report than some of the labs because they have a lot of samples going through. That's probably one of their biggest things. In terms of their linking with some softwares and not others, obviously that's very personal depending on the clinic and who's got the, and who, which software you use and which one that links to.
Okay, so if you are using TDL, then you'll have to download the software that they use, right?
If you use TDL, the lab will always have a software that you can use, always. However, my clinical software has a separate link to TDL, and that allows me to order tests through my clinical software, which goes to TDL directly, and then comes back from TDL, and the results go directly. If you don't have that clinical software that links to TDL, then you just have to use the TDL platform separately.
Okay, that makes sense. Those were actually my main questions. Do you have any questions for us? Regarding...
It would be interesting to know what the research is about and who for, if that makes sense. Not specifically who for, but like... Is it like a big provider that wants to move to the UK?
Yeah, so it is from for a provider that wants to enter the private healthcare testing.
Private market. In the UK.
Yeah, private market. So that's why we are trying to find out about that. So thank you so much for your time. This was really helpful.
Brilliant. Okay.
Okay, thank you so much.
Excellent.
So regarding the honorarium and all those things, I think Jeevan will mail you and he'll connect
with
you. Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you so much.
Right, thank you.
Also, is it okay if we have questions in the future, can we mail them to you? That'd be okay. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you for your time. Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.